This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. What does it take to be great? Is it skill, good looks, athletic ability? Let's listen as Pastor Kramer helps us learn Jesus' thoughts on this subject as we continue our I Will series with today's program entitled, I Will Serve.
Today we're going to take a look at a great way to grow spiritually healthy. Jesus has some divine wisdom for us on that subject. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, it's good to be with you today in worship, for you deserve it, and we need it. We need to hear your holy word and once again be reminded that you love us and that you know what makes life work. Through the working of your Holy Spirit, have your way with us this day. Change us and shape us and mold us into people that give you pleasure and glory. Amen. Our reading for today is from Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said, "We're able." And he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, that's not mine to grant, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 others heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Dear friends, during the 2014 Final Four NCAA basketball tournament, one of the coaches of the Final Four teams was asked about his team's success, why they were there. He said, "We have a motto on our team, and the motto goes like this: good people do for themselves, great people do for others." Today we have Jesus teaching something like that to his team, the disciples. James and John had a mother who approached Jesus one day with a request on behalf of her boys. She kind of played the role of the first helicopter mom looking out for her kids, I guess. Her request was rather self-serving and inappropriate when you think about the context in which it happened. Jesus had just told them he was going to be killed in Jerusalem. But she broke in anyway and asked of him, "Would you make my boys your vice presidents when you come into power?" Of course, Jesus said, no, he couldn't do that. The other disciples, hearing this conversation, got very angry at James and John because they wanted the same thing. It was looking like a playground fight out there until Jesus stepped in and diffused it before things boiled over, and he used it as a teachable moment. He said, "You know, the world around us teaches this kind of attitude, which you're displaying right now. You've seen in the Gentile world how people just love to lord it over one another, and some actually become tyrants over others. May it not be so among you. Not in my kingdom. In my kingdom, greatness is measured by the willingness to be a servant or to have the attitude of a slave. That's greatness. And then he gave him his own personal mission statement as an example to abide by. He said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Follow my lead, he seemed to be saying. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and I hope you are, because following him means salvation for you. It means a restored relationship with God that you can't have outside of Jesus Christ. Well, if you follow him, you're following a servant king, according to this statement he just made. I'm reminded of another episode in which he illustrated this truth for the disciples. When he washed their feet the night before he was crucified on the cross, he washed their feet, the work of a common servant in those days. They were horrified and aghast that their master and king would be washing their feet. But Jesus sat him down afterwards and said, "I've given you an example. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet. In my kingdom, people serve one another." If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then the message for today is that you are called to be a servant. If you want to grow in your effectiveness for Christ in this world, to actually have an impact in a positive way on this world around you for the kingdom of God, be a servant. It's really quite countercultural when you think about it, because we live in a what's in it for me world. Look out for number one. And we're being called as followers of Jesus Christ to commit ourselves to do just the opposite. We find ourselves, I think, rather hesitant about following these kind of directions for our lives from Jesus for a variety of reasons. One, it goes against the way I'm wired. I'm a sinner. I have a tendency to look out for number one. Self-preservation is the top of my priority list. And who's going to look out for me if I don't? Kevin Miller, a writer for Leadership Journal, one time was preparing a sermon on servanthood, and he asked his friends on Facebook to respond to this question: why is it so hard for us to serve? He had a host of answers. Someone said, "Serving is hard. It doesn't fit my schedule or plan." Someone else said, "It's hard when people's needs seem so endless. I don't want to get sucked in and drained out." Someone else said, "There's such limited energy after a demanding workday meeting basic responsibilities." But here's my favorite answer. What makes it hard to serve others? Others. People are sometimes just hard to serve. Some people are unlikable, unlovable. They don't know how to say thank you. They don't know how to acknowledge that you've done something kind for them. I remember one time someone saying, real servanthood kicks in when the applause ends and the thank yous stop. How true that is. So this kind of life really is calling, then, being a servant, for an attitude change to take place inside of us. That's what Paul says, anyway, in his letter to a group of Christians who were having some struggles as a community in Philippi. He says, you need an attitude change. He says, look not out only for the interests of yourself, but to the interests of others. Let the same attitude be in you that was in Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There you have it. It's an emptying of self. It's a humbling of self. When we talk about humbling oneself, it's to exercise a healthy self-forgetfulness, to put me, myself, and I in the backseat of the car and be willing to say, it's not all about me. It's a willingness to say, I am not the center of the universe. I am not God. I am one of God's humble servants. What Paul is describing here, too, is a desire to actually be faithful to the one who first loved me, who emptied himself for me. in a loving response to him, say, I want to be like you, Jesus, and give myself away. In my congregation, we have a new members class called New Connections. We get together with folks for 4 weeks. We explain to them what we teach as far as theology and point them out the various ministries. But our last session we have with them is on what are our expectations of members? For you're entering into a covenant relationship with our family of faith. One of the things we emphasize is we want people in our church to develop a servant's heart, a servant attitude. That's what makes for a healthy congregation that's going to have an impact for the kingdom of God in this world. People asking the question, what can I be doing for you? Instead of focused on what is this church going to do for me? How does one cultivate a servant-like attitude? 3 things that really do make the difference. First of all, pray. Pray for an attitude change in your life. As I said, this isn't natural stuff. It calls for a supernatural change, and only God can do the supernatural. Prayer doesn't just change things. Prayer changes us. And put yourself on call. Every day, ask for that attitude change and ask God to help you see someone who needs your servanthood. 2, pray for others around you. Instead of focusing on yourself, focus on people around you, people you work with, people who live around you in your apartment building or in your community home or in the prison where you might be sitting today, or in your neighborhood or in your church. Pray for others around you. I've found that if you begin to pray for others, you begin to see them in a different way. You begin to see them through the eyes of Jesus. And 3, commit yourself to doing this, serving thing, at least 2 hours a week. Be an intentional servant. It's not going to happen until you put that attitude to work, because typically your attitude will follow your actions. It's a willingness to say yes and then step in. And you don't have to look far to find those opportunities. There's lots of lonely people that are standing on the outside looking in who need someone that will reach out and befriend them. And there are people that are hurting and having health issues and people that are grieving that need someone to come alongside and just sit with them and be a friend to them. There are people, kids, that need older folks to mentor them, to step into their lives in your community or in your church. There are people in your community that need help making ends meet as they go to the food shelf. I have a friend who works the food shelf a couple times a week, gives herself away. She's hooked on that. I have a friend who does short-term missions. He's a dentist that's retired now 3 times a year. He's also working with an orphanage, giving himself away to help those kids. We have opportunities in our church communities. I have a friend who's retired who I met in the workroom a few weeks ago. She was as chirpy as could be, and I was as grumpy as could be. It was a Sunday morning, and I was getting ready to go in and preach, and she was getting ready to go in and teach an adult class. And she says, I was up till 3 o'clock this morning, and I had so much fun preparing this lesson. I can't wait to share it with the folks today in our class. Or there's a nursery that's always looking for people that will look after kids, or there's Sunday school, or there's people that need to be greeted when they come in the door on a Sunday morning, or ushers. There's always a shortage of ushers in our church. Card ministry, prayer ministry. Ask your pastor what you can do for the cause of Christ around the church. You will thrill her or him. And if you are retired, hear this. There is no retirement in the Church of Jesus Christ when it comes to serving. Hear that again. Don't let anyone sell you this bill of goods or put you on the sideline now just because you hit a certain age. There's no retirement in the Church of Jesus Christ. You still have the ability to serve. And what does it do in your life as you give yourself away like that as a person? Jesus says in John 13, after he washed the feet of those disciples and explained it to them, he said, if you know these things and you do them, you will be blessed. I'm reminded of a story out of the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. Bill Wilson, also known as Bill W., in the early days had found sobriety, but he found himself feeling like he was slipping and might start drinking again. So he went and found another drunk named Dr. Bob, and he told Dr. Bob his story. Dr. Bob eventually got sober himself. But in the midst of that, you see, Bill W. seemed to know something that as he told his story to Dr. Bob, it wasn't simply for Dr. Bob's sake that he told it. He told it for his own sake. He found himself strengthened in his own weakness as he told that story, and he was able to overcome that wanting to take a drink. I have lots of AA folks in our congregation, and many of them have come to me along the way and said, if you ever have someone who has hit bottom, call me anytime, night or day. I don't care. I will come running to be with that person and help them and take them to a meeting. They've learned, you see. It's in giving yourself away that you will be blessed. You will be strengthened. Listen to this church member's testimony who wrote to Dr. Tom Rainier after he had taught a class in her church about changing that attitude to being one of a servant in your church, and how she had started to pray for an attitude change and pray for others and give herself away. And this is a follow-up email 7 months later after she made that commitment. She said, Tom, I have never been more joyful to be a church member. I don't have to worry about getting my way. My mission is now to serve others. It's much more fun to serve than to be served. I still pray every day for my attitude, and I pray for specific people in the church every day, and that has changed my attitude incredibly. I have also made certain I do something of service in the church at least 1 hour a week. I volunteered for nursery duty once a month at the church, and I committed to the shut-in ministry to visit at least 3 persons a month. I truly have learned in action what Jesus meant when he said we would be first if we put ourselves last. I am last in the sense that I serve others before me. I am first in the sense that I have incredible joy coming directly from Jesus. I wish I had made this effort years ago. I have truly learned how to experience the joy of Christ by serving. There you have it. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and I hope you are, for he is the way of salvation, here's your assignment that's come straight from the lips of your Lord and Master. Be a servant. The only question left to ask is, will you? I can't help but wondering, just imagine what would happen if over the next 90 days, everyone listening to this today, let's say there are 10,000 listening, I hope there's at least that many, that are listening to this, make that commitment. I will pray for others. I will pray for my attitude. I will give myself away 2 hours a week to serve for Jesus. What would happen in our personal lives, our families, our church, our communities? Multiply that 90 days times 10,000. That's 900,000 hours of service to others in the name of Jesus Christ. We'd have a service revolution. And think of the lives that would positively be impacted for the cause of Jesus Christ. We can do this with God's power. So if you're willing, pray this prayer with me now, would you? Repeat after me. Lord, open my eyes to see the needs of others. Help me to live more like Jesus, who always put other interests first. In the days ahead, show me how I can best serve in my church, my family, and my community. I will be a servant for you. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We encourage you to remember that as you serve others in Jesus' name, you are serving the Lord indeed. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is supported by the gifts of our listening audience. Our faithful followers have financed this ministry for more than 79 years through their prayers and generous offerings. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit our website at www.christiancrusaders.org. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to hear it again, we encourage you to check out our website at christiancrusaders.org. You can also receive a CD or printed copies of today's sermon free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo, Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are pleased you were able to worship with us today, and we pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting the service was our speaker, Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota. Christian Crusaders is now in its 80th year on air and online of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.